Good morning. It's The Takeaway. I'm Andrea Bernstein with John Hockenberry. Not many people would be willing to publicly admit that they have entertained the thought of throwing their sleep deprivation-inducing newborn baby off a balcony. But writer Michael Lewis, saying his only role model was a distant father, has chronicled all kinds of mixed feelings while raising Quinn, Dixie, and Walker. We want to ask you, what was your worst moment as a parent, and where did you learn how to cope? Tell us how you're redefining parenthood at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. Michael Lewis joins us now. He's the author of many books, including Panic, the story of modern financial insanity. His new book is called Home Game, An Accidental Guide to Fatherhood. You can read an excerpt from it on our website, thetakeaway.org. Michael, let's go straight to the homicide part.
Wasn't that Michael Jackson?
Did you all really plug that? I was sitting in your green room and hearing you talk about how I was going to end the life of my child.
Right.
I thought, that's a little sensational.
Yeah, don't you feel great about that?
we want to talk,
so
Michael.
Let's start by clearing the air on this issue of throwing the baby off the balcony. What was that about?
Well, it was an attempt. One of the things I was trying to describe was the emotional terrain that I had not been prepared for, and it was interesting to me when our first child came into the world. We had a very difficult first child, no help, and stuck in the room for 24 hours a day with this hollering child.
Unlike most parents.
Well, I think most parents have this experience, but you don't hear about it. But some people have the Buddha baby. But anyway. And after a couple of weeks of sleep deprivation, but it wasn't just sleep deprivation, that what shocked me was how little natural feeling I had for each of our children when the moment they emerged into the world. What I assumed was a natural feeling, paternal love, was actually a learned feeling, that it was acquired. And in that passage you're referring to, I was marveling at how you go from, 2 or 3 weeks after this baby is born, me wondering to myself, there weren't laws against this. If there wasn't social sanctions, I did feel occasional kind of like rage about the situation. To 2 years later, being willing to throw myself in front of a truck for my child, how that transformation takes place, and it takes place by caring for the child.
Mm. But it's not, I mean, your book is written in this sort of very dry tone, and it's not just the sleep deprivation. Sort of all of the daily details of parenting really seem to drive you nuts.
In the very beginning, they did. And I think it's a combination of, you think my book is written in a dry tone?
A wry tone.
I was trying to understand. Yeah. Drive me nuts. It was more than I had absolutely no preparation for it. My wife is very, very diligent, does all her homework all the time, and regarded my preparation for this event as part of her homework. And I remember having stacks of books about fatherhood that I kind of read before we had our first child. And nothing in them described the actual experience that one endured. No one tells you about it.
I'm guessing that your wife felt the same way, although in your book she definitely seems to be the one who sort of has it all under control and is sort of the more critical, judgmental person. We spoke to your wife, the former MTV correspondent Tabitha Sorin, and this is what she told us yesterday about working with you on your book.
I loved each week being handed a couple of sheets of paper about my life and what we were going through that week and how he was feeling. And I considered it quite a blessing to have his inner thoughts enumerated on the page, even if they happen to be homicidal.
Do you think your book is about fatherhood. I mean, clearly lots of people who are new mothers also have a lot of struggles. I mean, do you sort of think that this is something that is not common to all new parents? Do you really think it's just about dads?
Oh, I think it's about both moms and dads. I do think, though, that it is more common for moms to feel the bond with the child right away. And I think that's in part because they have been, in effect, caring for the child for 9 months.
I think that's true. I think the parent who's carrying the child, parenthood starts when they start carrying
that's
the child.
Right.
For the
yeah.
other
so,
one, it starts at birth.
And the mother obviously endures a lot more misery than the father.
But nursing helps the mom, too.
But I think that this burden of being expected to feel things you don't feel is very heavy. And it really does remind me that the book opens with us living in Paris with this child. And I can remember, have you ever had the experience of telling all your friends you're going off on a fancy vacation, you're going to Paris, you're going to Europe, and you go to Paris.
I've heard about that, going to Paris with the children.
No, but you go to Paris by yourself, or you go to Paris with friends, and you get there, you get food poisoning, you get mugged, the French people are mean to you, and you have a horrible time, and you come home and people ask you, how was it?
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to say is it's horrible.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And 6 months later,
right?
You're lying about it.
Right.
Well, this
is
what happens with fatherhood. Right. It's 6 months later, you're lying about it. So I thought, I better write it down in real time, otherwise I'll start lying about it.
You know, is this a struggle? And I read the book, and you know, it reminded me of my situation with my kids. And is this a struggle to go from having this kind of romantic notion of, oh, fatherhood is going to be this beautiful, wonderful thing that I'm going to have this obvious emotional connection? In fact, children and having children for both moms and dads is something you can have no detachment about. You can't step away from the experience and go, what's going on here? And that the learning is coming to grips with the fact that you can't step out of childhood. You're all in it all the way, all the time.
You're trapped.
Yeah.
That's absolutely part of it. But you're trapped with a welter of feelings that you may not have expected you would have.
Right.
And you do expect a bit of the suffering, right? You expect the sleep deprivation, which is no trivial thing. You know, people use it to torture people. I mean, it really is a horrible after a while. but I mean, I did feel at times that if you wanted to extract a confession from a terrorist, just make him take care of my child for a week. That would be enough.
You should talk to Bob Gates about that.
It's an interesting tactic. But anyway, I think that you don't have. If you don't know what you're expected to, what you're going to feel, it's particularly unsettling.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.